Harvard's MBA program, she'd given up on the idea that her one and only lurked in the suited, uptight ranks of the Graduate School of Business. A majority of her classmates were male, but they were either taken, insufferable, or, more often than not, both. So she'd pinned her hopes on a whirlwind summer of romance instead. It worked for Chris and Nate, who met the summer after study abroad and were getting married in a few short months. Why couldn't it work for her? Well, Olivia didn't need a man. A simple calculation told her she had to meet someone this year to stay on track for her five-year plan. Finish her MBA, become a vice president at Pine Hill Capital by 32, get married by 33, and have two children by 35. The children would have to be twins, of course, preferably one girl, one boy, to maximize the efficiency of the process. Why deal with morning sickness and mood swings for 18 months when you could get it done in 9? Since Olivia was 29 going on 30, she had 3 years to get hitched. She figured she and her future husband had to date for at least a year before getting engaged. Plus, she needed time to plan the wedding. The timing was tight, but it'd work. As long as she found her happily ever after partner this year. But now her apartment mishap had thrown a wrench in her plans. She was already exhausted from work most days, and she'd have to spend weeks running around San Francisco looking for a new apartment. There was no way she could wait 7 weeks before moving back into her studio. As much as she hated to admit it, Sammy was right. It would be wildly expensive to rent a hotel room for that long. And Olivia didn't deal well with instability. A week or two she could handle. 7? Forget it. Stress did not a happy Olivia make. This is a nightmare. She tilted her head back and counted silently to 10. She knew she should have brought her calming lavender face mist with her. I should sue him for gross negligence. The burst pipes had been the landlord's fault. She'd only lived in the apartment for a few days. She hadn't even touched the washing machine yet. He'd explained the restoration process would take almost 2 months because the studio was old and the water had caused extensive damage. The landlord had offered the option to break her lease without penalty and $500 to replace her damaged items. $500. Her mattress alone cost more than that. But I won't sue him, Olivia continued, talking to herself. More time and money wasted. Searching for a new place to stay would be a better investment. A low chuckle filled the car. She cast a half-confused, half-annoyed glance in Sammy's direction. What's so funny?
You.
He made a right turn.
You're so... you.
He said it in a way that she couldn't tell whether he meant it as a compliment or an insult. I am, and I'm fabulous, Olivia said, choosing the I'll pretend that's a compliment route. She was so not in the mood to argue. Sammy's face broke out into a full-fledged grin, and a swarm of butterflies took flight in her stomach.
What are you going to do while you search for an apartment?
I'll stay at a hotel. Not ideal, but hopefully the search won't take too long. She tapped her fingers on her thigh, her mind racing with a million to-do items. She needed a spreadsheet ASAP, with neighborhoods, rent prices, a list of amenities, proximity to her office, and the nearest public transport option.
Since we're not near a computer and you can't create a spreadsheet at the moment, how about a cupcake? It'll make you feel better.
Sammy cut the engine, and Olivia realized they were at his bakery instead of his house. How did you know I was thinking about spreadsheets?
You're always thinking about spreadsheets.
Valid point.
Come on.
Sammy got out of the car.
Cupcakes on me.
Olivia's stomach twisted. She didn't want to go in there, but she had no good excuse for staying in the car and turning down her favorite dessert. So she reluctantly followed him into the bright, airy shop. The smell of freshly baked pastries and sweets slammed into her nostrils the minute she stepped inside.
Crumble and Bake was one of San Francisco's most visited food spots and a tourist destination unto itself. A chalkboard menu of the different items on offer took up the whole wall behind the registers. And the store comprised three sections. One for classic Chinese bakery items like Hong Kong-style egg tarts and pineapple buns. One for Western baked goods like croissants and muffins. And one for desserts. Crumble and Bake's famous cupcakes lined an entire counter, with each flavor displayed in its own glass jar. Customers packed the shop this Saturday afternoon, and more than a few customers stared and whispered when they saw Sammy. He wasn't movie star famous, but he'd been featured in the media enough times and had a large enough social media following that he inevitably got recognized in public, especially in his own shop. A few curious glances fell on Olivia, too, which she ignored. She trailed Sammy behind the counter and into the kitchen, where she garnered more curious glances while he conversed with a large blonde man in a white double-breasted chef's jacket. He introduced himself as Liam, Sammy's pastry sous chef. Olivia smiled politely and tried to melt into the walls so she wasn't in anyone's way. After 10 or so minutes, Sammy seemed to remember he hadn't arrived alone.
"Sorry, this is going to take a while. There are a few things I need to handle before we leave,"
he told Olivia with a hint of apology.
"Feel free to explore, taste test, etc. My office, the one with the green door, is quiet. Or there's a window seat by the cupcake counter if you want to see the action."
"Sure, no problem. I'll figure it out."
There were worse things than being trapped in a bakery. "Try the lemon and raspberry cupcake,"
Liam yelled before the kitchen door swung shut behind her.
"It's our signature."
Olivia took his advice and paid for the cupcake. She could have had it on the house, but she already owed Sammy too much, before parking herself in the window seat behind the cupcake counter. One bite told her all she needed to know. It was the best freaking cupcake in the world. Wow. No wonder it was Crumble and Bake's signature item. Her taste buds were in heaven. She munched on the lemon and raspberry confection while Googling hotels near her office, ideally within walking distance. If she had to spend a king's ransom on accommodations for the next few weeks, she wanted to cut down on transportation costs. But no matter how hard she tried, Olivia couldn't focus. She kept looking around, unable to take her eyes off the bustling bakery. A framed copy of Sammy's first magazine cover, taken 2 years after his business opened its doors, hung on a nearby wall. His smile seemed to mock her, saying,
"You thought I couldn't do it. Well, here I am, doing it."
Her stomach churned with guilt. She wished she'd been more supportive when he first came to her with his plans. She wished she hadn't let her mother's words and insecurities get to her. But the truth was, no matter how strong she stood in all other areas of her life, she'd never been strong enough to face off against Eleanor Tang and win. "Speaking of the devil," her phone lit up with an incoming call. She was tempted to ignore it, but that would only delay the inevitable. Olivia picked up the call and turned her head away from the crowd, like that would somehow diminish the background noise.
"Hello, Mother."
"Olivia, where are you?"
Eleanor's cool, crisp voice flowed over the line like ice water.
"It's loud."
"I'm shopping," Olivia lied. "For more work clothes."
"Why? Did you gain weight?"
She rolled her eyes and prayed for patience. "No, I simply needed a wardrobe refresher."
"Fine," Eleanor said. "Make sure not to buy anything pastel. It washes out your complexion."
Olivia couldn't resist countering with, "Alina's bridesmaid dresses are pastel." She could practically see her mother waving a dismissive hand in the air.
"Yes, well, peach flatters most of the bridesmaids' complexions. It's a shame it does nothing for yours, but majority rules. Speaking of your sister, you'll be here for the rehearsal dinner?"
It wasn't really a question, nor was it a request.
Never mind the fact that Alina had chosen their cousin Kayla as her maid of honor instead of her only sister. Not that Olivia wanted maid of honor privileges. Normally, she loved wedding planning. But Alina made Bridezilla look like a cute, innocent puppy. And that was before you factored in an overbearing Eleanor into the equation. Still, it hurt like hell to be passed over for the role by someone who should have been her ride or die. Then again, she and Alina hadn't had that type of sisterly relationship in a long time. Yes, Mother, I'll be there. Like I said I would, the past 5 times you asked. Good. While Eleanor rattled on about Alina's wedding, Olivia tuned her out. Her mother hadn't stopped talking about Alina's engagement to Richard Barons III since Richard popped the question with a 4-carat Cartier last year. He was Eleanor's dream son-in-law, a wealthy, generically handsome, Harvard-educated hedge fund manager from a good family whom she could brag about in her weekly Ladies Who Lunch meetings. Personally, Olivia thought Richard was a douche nozzle and a total sleaze. But she wasn't the one marrying the guy. At least her mother, sister, and future brother-in-law lived in Chicago, and she could keep her physical contact with them to a minimum. "I have to go," Olivia said when she saw Sammy step out of the kitchen. "I'll see you at the rehearsal dinner. Bye." She hung up before Eleanor could rope her into another conversation she didn't want to take part in. Talking with her mother always made her blood pressure spike. "Sorry about that," Sammy said as they exited the bakery. Afternoon sunshine spilled over them, warming Olivia's chilled skin. "Things took longer than I expected." "Don't be sorry. It's your job, and you've already been driving me around all morning." Olivia climbed into the passenger seat. "Besides, I had your cupcakes to keep me company." A smile flitted over his face. "You okay with going back to the house right now? I can make lunch." "Yes, but I just need to grab my bag. I'm not hungry yet." Olivia had left her overnight duffel at Sammy's house. The rest of her belongings were stuffed in his trunk and backseat. They'd spent hours packing and getting rid of her furniture after her landlord left that morning. "I can call an Uber XL that'll fit all my stuff and have them drive me to a hotel. I don't want to inconvenience you any more than I already have."
"That's not an inconvenience."
Sammy stared straight ahead, his jaw flexing like he was holding a silent debate with himself.
"Did you already book the hotel?"
"Nope, I'll do it now." Olivia pulled up the relevant tab on her phone. She'd already decided on a hotel and had been ready to check out before her mother called.
"Wait."
She raised a questioning eyebrow, and Sammy delivered his next words so casually, so innocuously, that she didn't realize their import until much later.
"Instead of a hotel, why don't you move into my place?"
Chapter 4. Sammy had a reputation for being a nice guy. He had an even temper, helped those in need, and rarely raised his voice. But here was the truth. He wasn't actually that nice. He did nice things, but he also got angry and petty and jealous and vindictive. Maybe he did so with less frequency than the general population, but Sammy was human and possessed all the flaws of one. Case in point, Olivia's apartment disaster. A small part of him sympathized with her. A much larger part of him delighted in Schadenfreude. In all the time Sammy had known her, he'd never once seen Olivia be anything other than perfect. Perfect grades, perfect looks, perfect clothes, perfect job. Her life was a Pinterest board and Forbes 30 under 30 list wrapped in an Excel spreadsheet and topped with a gold star sticker. Call him an asshole, but seeing her freak out was so fucking satisfying. She hadn't even freaked out when they broke up. She'd just stared at him for a long minute, turned, and walked out the door like the year they'd spent together had meant nothing. Even now the memory stung. "That's the last of the croissants." Liam rinsed his hands in the sink. "Just in time. Store opens in..." He checked the clock. 10 minutes, and according to Cordy, there's already a line.
There's always a line.
Cordelia breezed into the kitchen in time to catch the last half of Liam's statement.
I swear half the city's addicted to carbs.
Not that we're complaining. The carb addicts pay your salary, Sammy reminded her with a grin. How's it looking out there?
5 waiting to pounce the minute we flip the open sign. More to come once we hit the 8 a.m. rush, I'm sure.
She sighed.
Bryce chose the worst day to call in sick.
Is there ever a good day to call in sick? Liam mused. It's always busy.
Yeah, but Mondays are a whole other beast. Don't you know, croissants and muffins are the highlight of the corporate grinder's start of the week. That and coffee, but we don't serve coffee.
Cordelia popped her gum.
We should serve coffee.
She'd been on Sammy's case about adding drinks to the menu since she started working as a bakery assistant 6 months ago. A theater enthusiast with hair that changed color along with the seasons, it was currently dyed pale blonde with pink tips for summer. She was bold, brash, and one of Sammy's best employees. She handled even the fussiest customers with aplomb, and she worked the register with ungodly speed. Sammy knew it was only a matter of time before Cordelia made it big on stage and quit. Her passion was the stage, not bakeries. But until then, she'd hold down the fort and continue bugging Sammy about the menu.
Maybe next year, Sammy said, like he always did. I don't have time to think about expanding the menu right now.
Business was booming, and while he was thrilled with Crumble and Bake's success, it meant more work on the corporate side of things and less time for the culinary side. Sammy had hired an operations manager last year to oversee all 3 of the brand's existing branches, San Francisco, L.A., and San Diego. But they were also expanding to the East Coast. Soon there'd be a permanent Crumble and Bake in New York, and one on Thayer University's campus in Maryland, right on the D.C. border. Sammy also had to keep up with his social media presence. A digital operations associate maintained and updated the accounts, but Sammy had to star in the videos and photos. His personal brand fed into Crumble and Bake's success as much as the corporate brand fed into his success. It was mutually beneficial, even if Sammy was tempted to shut down all his social media some days. Being a public figure online was more draining than a long day in the kitchen.
It's just coffee, Cordelia argued. Buy a couple espresso machines and boom, you're done.
Don't think it's that simple, Liam came to Sammy's aid. We've been here since 3 a.m. Cut the man some slack.
I'm cutting.
Cordelia made scissor motions with her fingers.
You're the boss, she told Sammy. Just wanted to throw my 2 cents in is all. Plus, the closest coffee shop to us is 3 Lions and their lattes are nasty.
She glanced at the clock and heaved a sigh.
1 minute. Here we go.
She swanned out of the kitchen. Soon after, Sammy heard the bells above the entrance jangle and the low, persistent hum of excited chatter fill the air through the swinging doors. While Cordelia worked the counter, Sammy and the rest of the kitchen staff busied themselves with the behind-the-scenes work. He had a tight-knit family at the bakery. Liam, his right-hand man, 3 production bakers, a cake decorator, a kitchen helper to assist with non-baking tasks like dishwashing and refilling ingredient bins, and Cordelia and Bryce, who manned the front of the house. Sammy's operations manager and digital associate worked remotely, and he had Zoom meetings with them 2x a month.
"Who was the woman you brought in the other day?"
Liam asked casually after they finished making and packing the lunchtime goodies.
"Hmm?"
Sammy wiped a counter down. He didn't come into the bakery every day like he used to, but when he did, he followed a standard baker's schedule. Arrive at 3 a.m. to sanitize the kitchen and prepare the day's baked goods for a 7 a.m. opening. Begin making the lunchtime items while the morning crowd got their fix. Clean the kitchen just before noon for the lunch rush. Prep the next day's ingredients and products. Clean the kitchen. Yes, again, hygiene was critical. And close at 4. It was an unconventional schedule for anyone except bakers, but Sammy had gotten used to it over the years.
"The woman from Saturday," Liam repeated. "Dark hair, yay tall, Asian."
Sammy paused for a second before he continued wiping.
"Oh, Olivia. Yep, first time you brought a woman here. Don't read too much into it. Sammy swept a few crumbs off the counter into his hand and disposed of them in the trash. I helped her with something that morning in the bakery was on the way to our next stop. He didn't mention Olivia would be staying with him for the foreseeable future. That was no one's business except theirs. She's beautiful. Sammy shrugged in response. His sous chef persisted. You two dating? I didn't realize we were playing 20 questions. Sammy's tone was curt. Toss me that flower, will you? Liam obliged. That's not an answer. This is what Sammy got for cultivating close relationships with his employees. Derek, his operations manager, kept telling him to treat them as employees instead of friends. But Sammy liked the camaraderie at the bakery. Except in situations like this, when said employees insisted on getting on his nerves. We're not dating. Sammy stored the flower in its allotted spot. We know each other from study abroad. As in college? Liam let out a low whistle. Long history. He looked like he was about to ask another question, but Cordelia saved Sammy by poking her head through the door and yelling, Boss, someone here to see you. Sammy frowned. Cordelia knew better than to ask him to do a meet and greet with a fan, but who else could be here to see him? He checked his phone for a clue, a call or a text maybe. Nothing. Whatever. He'd meet the person regardless, anything to avoid Liam's inquisitive stare. When Sammy saw who was waiting for him at the counter, however, he wished he was back in the kitchen enduring Liam's endless questions. Hey, cuz! Edison's eminently punchable face carried its usual semi-smirk. How's it going? What are you doing here? Sammy kept his tone civil, but irritation darted through his system and formed a solid block of resentment in his stomach. Out of all his cousins, Edison had always been his least favorite, but it hadn't been until that summer in New York that he'd vaulted to the top of Sammy's short but mighty most hated list. "To support my cousin, of course," Edison said in an oily voice. He swung a white paper bag stamped with the Crumble and Bake logo in the air. Nice little place you got here. It ain't NASA, but it's cute. Sammy's jaw tensed at the backhanded compliment. Edison, a corporate lawyer, looked down on anyone who didn't have a high-paying career in the medical, legal, or engineering fields. His office was only a few blocks from the bakery, but as far as Sammy knew, he'd never dropped by before. Sammy still remembered the other man's sneer when he found out Sammy had turned down a job offer from NASA to open a bakery of all things. Edison had always resented Sammy for stealing his thunder, as he put it, when their grandparents wouldn't stop raving about Sammy's SAT scores. He'd beaten Edison's score by 40 points. Sammy's career U-turn had finally given Edison the justification he needed to look down on his rival. I appreciate the business. Now, if you'll excuse me, I have business to attend to. Sure. Edison remained where he was. By the way, Mom asked if you were coming to dim sum this Sunday. We haven't seen you in a month. Sammy's extended family ate dim sum together every Sunday. It was a U tradition, and he tried to attend whenever he wasn't busy with work. Unfortunately, he was always busy with work these days, and he'd had to help Olivia settle in yesterday. Maybe. We'll see. Well, I suggest attending this week's gathering. Edison adjusted his tie. I have a big announcement. Sammy flashed a tight smile. Like I said, we'll see. Sure, sure. His cousin chuckled. Have a good day, cuz. See you this weekend. Maybe. He winked at Cordelia and strode out the door, smug and pompous in his $1,000 Armani suit.
That's your cousin?
What an ass, she said the second the door shut behind him.
Are you sure you're related?
Sammy's mouth flattened into a grim line. Yeah.
Never seen you so curt with someone, Cordelia straightened a cupcake in its case. Not that I blame you. He must have been hell to grow up with.
Edison had been hell to grow up with. But Sammy hadn't hated him until 8 years ago when he'd caught Edison and Olivia kissing less than an hour after Olivia and Sammy broke up.
That's right. Edison and Olivia. Kissing. Renewed anger simmered in Sammy's stomach as he remembered stumbling on the scene. Remembered the disbelief, the devastation, the heartbreak. He wouldn't put anything past Edison, but Olivia knew he despised the man. Their breakup had been messy, but he'd thought she respected him enough not to pull such a low move, even if neither she nor Edison knew he knew. Sammy had stumbled away before they saw him and never confronted them about it. Technically, Edison and Olivia had both been single, so they hadn't cheated on anyone, but it was the fucking principle of the matter. Now, part of Sammy regretted offering Olivia a place to stay. He wasn't sure what made him do it. The words just fell out of his mouth yesterday when she mentioned booking a hotel. Not only that, but she'd declined, and he'd insisted, like an idiot. He'd said her stuff was already in his car and reminded her it would be cheaper than paying hotel rates for God knew how long. She'd relented on the condition they sign a lease and she pay rent like any normal tenant. By nighttime, Sammy had whipped up a week-to-week lease they'd signed on the dotted line, and Olivia's belongings had been transported into her new room. Out of all the bad ideas Sammy had had since he ran into her Friday night, taking Olivia in as his roommate was probably the worst idea of them all. Or was it? The nice part of him said he should help her find a new place as soon as possible. The not-so-nice part insisted he kick her out next week. The downright devious part encouraged him to make the most of the situation by making her regret the day she walked out on him. Olivia living in his house and at his mercy meant plenty of opportunity for mind games. Sammy wasn't a mind games person. They were cruel and a waste of time and energy. But nothing about his feelings toward Olivia had ever been normal. And like he said, he wasn't as nice as people thought he was. The devious part, one.
Chapter 5. Olivia debated the pros and cons of stabbing someone in the eye with a pen versus bludgeoning them over the head with a stapler. She was no violent person by nature, but she could learn and adapt. A few Google searches and YouTube tutorials, maybe a couple of grisly movies, she'd be on her way to Violentville in no time. Her coworkers deserved it. They spilled into the office in a loud, chattering post-lunch high, sleeves rolled up and faces gleaming with sweat from tromping through downtown San Francisco in the middle of a summer afternoon in suits. It was warmer than usual today, and the scent of their musk invaded Olivia's nostrils. She wrinkled her nose. Olivia, Logan slapped a heavy hand on her shoulder, causing her fingers to slip on the keyboard. She gritted her teeth and deleted the resulting nonsensical string of letters and symbols on screen. Working hard, I see. Someone has to, she said, with a mix of tart and sweetness that made it difficult for the receiver to discern whether she was joking. She wasn't. Next to her, Cassidy continued typing like she was the only person in the room. Besides the office assistant, Olivia and Cassidy were the only women in Pine Hills' San Francisco office. Cassidy was a senior analyst like Olivia, but she carried a chip the size of Alaska on her shoulder. Olivia had tried getting lunch with her the other day and received a bland, silent glare in response. So yeah, zero help or female bonding there. Logan laughed. You're funny. Pretty girls usually aren't funny. Pen stabbing. Definitely. If only because the pen was closer and it would take less time to dispatch the blonde tool hovering over her shoulder. While the rest of the office settled into their seats, a few of them casting amused glances in Olivia and Logan's direction as they did so. Logan perched on Olivia's desk and obscured her view of the monitor. She exhaled a long breath and tightened her grip on her Bic. Can I help you with something? Olivia had played the Wall Street game for close to a decade. She couldn't blow up, especially not here, where she had no allies. Her new manager in the New York office had been a sexist pig, but at least she'd had colleagues who had her back.
Here, she was the new girl. She was only in California for the summer, and none of her coworkers seemed keen on getting to know her beyond some of the men's thinly veiled come-ons. She'd worked too hard and too long to throw her future away over some idiot finance bro who had nothing better to do with his time than annoy her.
The question is whether or not I can help you.
Logan flashed what he must have imagined was a dazzling smile. Objectively, he wasn't bad-looking, but his personality canceled out any charm his golden hair and lean build might have had.
You're new to the city, and I can show you around. I know some great nighttime activities we could do after work.
His voice dropped, making his insinuation clear. Disgust crawled into the pit of Olivia's stomach. She flicked her gaze toward the gold wedding band on Logan's finger.
Your wife might not like that very much.
Translation? I would rather bathe in acid than spend time with you outside the confines of this godforsaken office, you cheating ass. He didn't blink at the mention of his spouse.
Don't worry about her.
Okay, I won't. Olivia scooted her chair to the left so she could see her monitor again without Logan blocking the way. She purposely didn't respond to his offer to show her some great nighttime activities. Logan opened his mouth again, but before he could speak, their boss poked his head out of his office.
Olivia, I need to speak with you.
Olivia pushed back from her desk and sauntered past a disappointed-looking Logan. Hopefully, he would be back at his desk, on the other side of the room from Olivia, by the time she finished her meeting. She entered the managing director's office and sank into the chair opposite Michael. Curious what this was about. She hadn't interacted with him much beyond a perfunctory greeting on her first day. But Michael Berman sat high on Pine Hill's hierarchy, and it couldn't hurt to butter him up. They made small talk for a minute or two. How Olivia liked Stanford, her impressions of San Francisco, and so on, before Michael got down to business.
Have you heard of Ty Winstock?
The name sounded vaguely familiar. Olivia flipped through her mental files until she zeroed in on where she'd heard it before. He's the co-founder of Mosaic, she said, naming a popular workspace and productivity app that had exploded on the scene a few years ago. Since then, Mosaic had been praised by everyone from Forbes to Oprah. The company went public last year with a huge IPO, initial public offering, that made its founders two of Silicon Valley's newest tech billionaires. However, Ty Winstock was notoriously press shy. His partner was the one who made the media rounds. Olivia didn't even know what he looked like.
That's right.
Michael nodded, looking pleased by Olivia's quick answer.
We were hoping to acquire him as a new client, but he's quite eccentric. I'd like you to put together a dossier on him. Anything you can find that'll give us a better understanding of his likes, dislikes, etc. We have our first meeting with him in 2 weeks. You'll join me.
Surprise and pleasure zinged through Olivia's veins. She hadn't had a lot of client-facing opportunities so far. Most of her work involved tracking investments and conducting special projects, such as analyzing the firm's private equity holdings and industry trends, all of which she could do at her desk, but she thrilled at the challenge. I'll have the dossier ready by next week, she said, trying to hide her excitement.
Excellent, Michael tapped his pen on his desk. I've heard great things about you from HQ. I know you're only in the city for the summer, but who knows?
He smiled.
Maybe you'll want to stay after you graduate.
Olivia made a non-committal noise and smiled back. She loved New York, and she hated the majority of her coworkers here. The chances of her staying in San Francisco were slim to none. When she returned to her desk, she found a post-it note stuck to her mouse pad.
For nighttime shenanigans, call 415-768-2898. Winking face.
No signature, but it wasn't necessary. Olivia's good mood dimmed. and she glared across the office at Logan, who winked and puckered his lips when he saw her watching him. Ugh. This was going to be a long summer. Olivia got home. Correction. Got to Sammy's house at 8:30. She'd stayed late to work on the dossier and had gone down the internet rabbit hole researching Ty Winstock. He was an interesting character, to say the least. 33 years old, never married, no children, a high school dropout who'd taught himself coding and created his first app at 14. He was unique among billionaires in that he didn't own a house or any personal real estate holdings. He traveled a ton and moved from five-star hotel to five-star hotel. But since he was based in the Bay Area, he spent a majority of his time at the Z Hotel, San Francisco. She still had to do more digging on the guy's current investments. But the ache in her eyes alerted her it was time to shut off the computer and resume her investigation tomorrow. "You're home late." Sammy sat at the kitchen counter, eating a bowl of noodles and watching as she slipped off her shoes and placed them neatly on the shoe rack by the entrance. The kitchen was the one room that offered a view of all other parts of the house. The entryway to the right, the hall of the bedroom straight across, the dining and living area to the left. "Not that late for finance people." Olivia hesitated, wondering if she should make small talk before beelining to her room for a change of clothes and a shower. She'd spent all of yesterday moving in, and the task had taken her mind off how weird it would be for her to live with her ex. Now that she had no boxes to unpack or clothes to organize, she was at a loss as to what to do. How would their relationship work? Would they be roommates who made small talk in passing? Would they eat meals and binge-watch The Bachelor together, cackling over how cheesy but addictive the show was? She couldn't imagine the latter happening. But it seemed wrong to treat Sammy as just a roommate, given their history, and the fact that he'd gone out of his way to help her. Regardless of how much he'd hurt her back then, she owed him, and that threw a whole new wrench in their dynamics. Not that she could complain. She'd chosen to accept his offer, so it was up to her to figure it out. "Have you eaten yet?" Sammy asked, interrupting Olivia's silent debate. "I made extra noodles, if you want them."
"No, thanks. I already ate."
Olivia had a list of the best restaurants that delivered to her office and planned on rotating between them in the upcoming months. Honestly, she wouldn't have minded a second meal. Sammy's noodles were amazing, and her sushi dinner hadn't filled her stomach as much as she would have liked. But she didn't want to eat dinner with Sammy. Didn't want to sit in close proximity to him while those dark eyes of his caressed her skin, and the rumble of his voice stirred things inside her that she hadn't known still existed. They stood across the room from each other, their tones casual and their conversation mundane, but a strange charge danced in the air between them, twisting the molecules into a rope of tension that sizzled and tugged at Olivia's stomach.
"If you change your mind, the leftovers will be in the fridge."
Sammy shifted, and his muscles bunched under his shirt. Gulp.
"Sounds good."
Olivia ran a nervous hand through her hair. "It's been a long day, so I'm just going to shower and call it a night." She might have imagined it, but she thought his eyes flared with heat at her words, and the charge in the air danced faster. An inane part of her wondered if he was picturing her in the shower. The possibility shouldn't have thrilled her as much as it did.
"Don't be ridiculous. There's no sexual attraction between us. It's static, like the kind you find on sweaters during winter."
Olivia admired him the way she'd admire any good-looking man. But that didn't mean she wanted to sleep with him, or kiss him, or do anything else of that nature. As for the way Sammy was looking at her, well, that was her overactive imagination playing tricks. She read too much erotica. "Good night," Olivia blurted before he could say anything else. She practically ran out of the kitchen, holding her breath until she was within the safe confines of her room. She leaned against the door and closed her eyes, her heart pounding for no discernible reason. Sammy hadn't said or done anything untoward since she ran into him at Ishikawa, and she had no reason to be this nervous. But even though he'd been nothing but pleasant, almost suspiciously so, Olivia couldn't shake the sense that she was prey, trapped in a house with her hunter.
Chapter 6. Olivia and Sammy had their first roommate argument less than a week after she moved in. "I can't believe you did this," Sammy's head pounded with anger as he stared at his kitchen. "What were you thinking?" Olivia planted her hands on her hips. "I was thinking I would do something nice and help you organize your things. This place was a mess." The pounding intensified. "It was my mess. I knew where everything was. I had a system. I used the kitchen all the time. You don't even cook."
"I could."
The snort slipped out before he could stop it.
"No, you can't."
Wrong thing to say. Olivia's cheeks flushed red and defiance sparked in her eyes.
"It's been 8 years. I've improved."
"Hate to break it to you, but there was nowhere to go but up." Harsh, perhaps. True? Absolutely. Sammy had eaten Olivia's cooking once, and his stomach still rebelled at the thought.
"It wasn't that bad."
Olivia's chin jutted out even as pink tinted her cheeks. He stared at her in disbelief.
"We got food poisoning."
"Once. We got food poisoning once."
"Once is enough."
"Stop yelling."
Olivia took a deep breath and pressed two fingers to her temple.
"We're off topic. The issue is not that one tiny mishap years ago.
We threw up for 3 days. My throat was so raw I could barely speak afterward. I had to call in sick to my internship." She continued like he hadn't spoken.
"It's that you're throwing a fit over a rearranged spice rack. You had no system. The spices weren't arranged alphabetically by height or by category of flavor. It was chaos, and I brought order. They're now in alphabetical order because that's the easiest organizational method. The container's different heights are irritating, but that's nothing a quick trip to the container store won't fix. We can buy a pack of labels and matching spice shakers."
"We're not going to the container store," Sammy gritted out. "We're not buying labels or new spice shakers. You know why? Because there's nothing wrong with the old ones or the way the spices were organized."
"They were not organized."
"They were to me. And I'm putting them back." He didn't take his eyes off Olivia as he picked up the chili powder, currently nestled between the ground cardamom and cinnamon, and shoved it on the bottom rack next to the turmeric powder. "Take that, alphabetical order." Olivia gasped.
"You did not just do that."
"Oh, I'm just getting started." Sammy opened the fridge because, contrary to what she said, Olivia hadn't reorganized just the spice rack, but the whole damn kitchen, and stuck the milk on a shelf instead of the door storage. Her eye twitched. When he retrieved a half-empty box of green tea packets from his new tea and coffee cabinet and placed it on the counter next to the hot water dispenser, angling the box so it didn't line up perfectly with the wall, she stormed over and shoved the tea back in the cabinet. He took it out. She put it back in. There was a dirty joke lurking in there somewhere, but Sammy was too riled up to concentrate on anything except not strangling the woman in front of him.
"This is my kitchen."
"It's our kitchen," Olivia corrected. "I signed a lease. I'm paying rent. The kitchen is a communal space, which means it's mine and yours."
"You don't even use the damn kitchen. You eat dinner at your office half the time, and the other half you order takeout."
"I have to look at it," she fired back.
"You know I dislike clutter."
Sammy's molars ground together until his jaw hurt.
"Right, I forgot. Everything has to be perfect for the mighty Olivia Tang. Your house, your career, your fucking relationships. How's that working out for you? Living in your ex's house, still single because no man on earth can live up to your unrealistic expectations? Careful, Olivia, or you'll end up like your mom always feared you would."
The second the words left his mouth, he wished he could take them back. Olivia reeled like she'd been slapped, her eyes wide. This time, Sammy was the one who rubbed his temples. Shame and regret lodged in his throat. "I didn't mean..." She turned and walked away. A minute later, he heard the firm thud of her bedroom door slamming shut. Sammy let loose curses that would have his mom washing his mouth out with soap. He'd been cruel, and he never wanted to be cruel. But that was what happened when you fought with someone you knew so well. You understood which buttons to push and which words would cut the deepest. "What are you looking at?" Sammy growled at the green tea in the cabinet. He slammed the door shut with another curse, shoved the chili powder back between the cardamom and cinnamon, and placed the milk in the fridge's door storage before he stalked to Olivia's room and knocked. No answer. He knocked again.
"Go away."
Her voice was calm, and he heard the distinct sound of a zipper unwinding. "Olivia, open the door." Nothing. Sammy released a pent-up sigh. "I'm sorry, okay? I shouldn't have said what I said. It was shitty of me. Can we please talk about it face to face like adults?" The door flew open and Olivia glared at him. He could see an open suitcase behind her, half filled with clothes.
"There's not much to talk about. I shouldn't have moved in. I appreciate you helping me when my apartment flooded, but I won't let you hold it over my head."
The shame thickened. "I'm not holding it over your head."
"Yes, you are. We had an argument, and you said, and I quote, 'Living in your ex's house, still single, because no man on earth can live up to your unrealistic expectations.' That was a low blow."
Olivia turned her back on him and wedged a neatly folded t-shirt into her suitcase.
"We should have known this wouldn't work. We have too much history for us to be normal roommates. I'll stay in a hotel until I find a new place, and I'll pay you..."
"Don't leave." She paused for a second before she resumed packing.
"Prorated rent for the time I've..."
"Olivia." Sammy placed a hand on her arm. He hadn't realized he'd stepped into her room until now.
"Don't leave."
Olivia stilled, though he detected a slight tremor beneath his hand. The surrounding air thickened and sizzled, the heat sliding over Sammy's skin and setting every nerve ending on fire. "You can stay as long as you like. I'll treat you like I would any other roommate. I'm sorry for what I said, and I won't say anything like that again. It's not fair, especially when I was the one who asked you to move in." Wariness crept into Olivia's eyes.
"Why are you being so nice? You don't even like me."
"That's not true." Olivia shot him a skeptical look.
"We've had our differences," Sammy acknowledged. "But what happened between us happened a long time ago. How about we call a truce?"
He held out a hand. "No arguing over the past or using it as a weapon. From now on, the only arguments we'll have, if we have any, are normal roommate arguments. Who left the toilet seat up? Who left dishes in the sink overnight?"
"I never leave the toilet seat up or leave dishes in the sink overnight, so the answer will always be you."
A small smile graced Olivia's lips when Sammy glared at her.
"Fine. We can be adults about this. Truce."
She grasped his hand, and a bolt of electricity almost knocked him on his ass. Judging by the shock that flared in her eyes, he wasn't the only one affected. Olivia's smile faded and Sammy's heart crashed against his chest. They'd seen each other multiple times over the years, but this was their first skin-to-skin contact since she walked out of their apartment that fateful summer in New York. The chemistry was as devastating now as when they'd first started dating. Fuck. This threw a wrench in Sammy's plans. He'd thought he had better control over his hormones, but suddenly all he could think about was how soft Olivia's lips looked and how good she smelled, like freshly washed linens with a hint of jasmine. Other than the sound of their breathing, it was silent. So silent he could hear his pulse thrumming in his ears. Olivia stared up at him, the wariness in her eyes replaced by a heat that stirred him to life. If he leaned forward a few inches, The loud, harsh ringing of the doorbell shattered the spell that had kept them suspended in a state of tense anticipation. They yanked their hands, still entwined in an unmoving handshake, apart, and leapt back at the same time. "I'll get that. I'll unpack again." Their words overlapped and jumbled together. Sammy ducked his head and got out of there like the hounds of hell were on his heels. Adrenaline pumped in his veins. If someone hadn't rung the bell... He shook his head. He wouldn't think about that now. He had bigger things to worry about, like the person on his front step. There was only one person he knew who'd pop in unannounced on a Saturday afternoon. Sure enough, his mother beamed when he opened the door.
"Sammy!"
She looked him over and clucked. "Have you been eating enough? You look thinner. I hope you haven't been working too hard," she said in rapid-fire Mandarin. "That's what you hired employees for. You need rest." She said the same thing every time she saw him. If Sammy really had lost as much weight as she said he had, he'd be invisible. "Hi, Mom." He stepped aside so she could come in. "Let me take that for you." Amy Yu's arms were laden with shopping bags from Wing Fa, a popular Asian supermarket near his parents' house.
"No, no, I got it."
She slipped off her shoes before winding her way to the kitchen. In her pale pink polo shirt, white cropped pants, white sneakers, and white and pink tennis visor, his mother looked as young and spry as someone in her 30s, even though she was pushing 56.
"I was already at Wing Fa and thought I'd buy you some groceries."
Amy unloaded boxes of silken tofu, bunches of bok choy, and bags of frozen dumplings onto the marble counter.
"When was the last time you had soup? You look tired. I'll make you lotus root and pork soup," she decided. "Good for energy."
Sammy leaned against the kitchen island and folded his arms over his chest. "Okay. Who is it?" His mother blinked, innocent as a doe.
"Who is who?"
"The girl. Who's the girl you want to set me up with this time?" Sammy was 29, hardly old or decrepit, but his mom had been on his case about getting married for years. She wanted grandchildren, and she wanted them now. Once she realized Sammy was nowhere as pressed about his marital status as she was, his mom took it upon herself to set him up with every eligible woman she knew. He'd indulged her in the beginning, but after more than a dozen blind dates, some okay, some downright horrible, none earth-shattering, his patience was wearing thin. His mother knew it, too, which was why she always showed up with food whenever she wanted him to go on another matchmaking date. Food was his weakness.
"I have no idea what you're talking about."
Amy opened the freezer door and started stuffing the dumplings and shrink-wrapped foam trays of oxtail, pork, and beef inside. She'd bought enough groceries to feed a small army for a month.
"By the way, are you going to dim sum tomorrow?"
Her tone was casual. Too casual.
"We haven't seen you in weeks, and your grandparents miss you."
Yep. She was definitely going to spring mystery woman on him at dim sum. "I call them every week."
"Calling isn't the same as seeing, is it?"
Amy arched an eyebrow, and he suddenly felt like he was 10 again, tracking mud through the house after she'd mopped the floors.
"They're old, and your grandfather's health isn't so good. Who knows how much longer they'll have?"
No one could guilt trip like an Asian mom. Sammy sighed. "I'll be there." He'd learned to pick his battles a long time ago.
"Great, your grandparents will be thrilled. I heard Edison has big news, too."
Amy snorted.
"He probably bought a new car or something equally tacky. Your Auntie Ling's always bragging about him, like he's something special because he went to Harvard and is a big-time lawyer, but I know better."
She patted Sammy on the cheek.
"You turned down Harvard. Who needs a degree from that big, overhyped university anyway? Harvey Mudd is smaller, more prestigious, and you work for yourself instead of some corporate boss. Plus, you're taller and more handsome."
His mother looked smug.
"Edison's only 1.5 meters tall, and he's not the one all the waitresses at Wah Sing go crazy over."
Even though she'd lived in the U.S. for over 3 decades, Amy still used the metric measuring system instead of the American imperial system. Old habits die hard. Sammy's cheeks colored.
"Mom, what, it's the truth?"
She leaned in and whispered, I heard from your Auntie Felicia that Edison got implants for that receding chin of his, which does look stronger nowadays.
The one thing his relatives loved more than guilt-tripping their children was gossiping.
I'm not touching that topic with a 10-foot pole.
Sammy helped his mom unpack the rest of his groceries.
How's Dad?
Fine, fine.
His mom shoved a bottle of hoisin sauce into a cabinet.
He went hiking with your uncles. Imagine, a bunch of old men trying to act like they're still young. I told him if he made it to the top, I'd eat my shoe.
Her words were harsh, but her tone was loving.
Not your new coach sneakers, I hope. Sammy laughed when she punched him playfully in the arm.
Don't sass me.
A door opened and closed in the back of the house, followed by the faint but unmistakable sound of a shower running. Sammy's shoulders stiffened.
Oh, no.
His mother's head twisted slowly toward the hallway that housed the bedrooms and bathroom. The shower sounded unbearably loud in the otherwise silent house. Then she twisted her head around until she faced Sammy again. The glee in her expression made him take a step back.
"Who's in the shower?" she asked, her eyes wide. "Is it a girl? Do you have a girl over?"
She couldn't have been more excited if she found out she won free round-trip tickets to Hawaii. The jackhammers in Sammy's head pounded anew. Between this and his earlier argument with Olivia, they'd had a busy day.
No, I mean, yes, but no.
Amy frowned.
You're not making any sense. Is it a girl or not?
It is, but...
She flew toward the bathroom, leaving him alone in the kitchen.
It's not what you think, Sammy finished.
He followed his mother into the hallway where she stood outside the bathroom door with anticipation gleaming in her eyes. His stomach pulsed with dread.
Mom, she's in the shower. You can't wait for her outside the bathroom like this. It's creepy.
I need to use the toilet, she said. What's creepy about that? People wait outside public bathrooms all the time.
This isn't a public bathroom, he wanted to say, but he knew it wouldn't get him anywhere. There was no arguing with his mom once she set her mind on something. Sammy could only watch in slow-motion horror when the bathroom door opened a few minutes later and steam poured out, practically obscuring an unsuspecting Olivia as she stepped into the hall. For once, he wished she was one of those women who took forever in the shower. No way would his mom wait here for an hour. But she was quick and efficient as always. Olivia's tanned skin glistened with crystal droplets of water, and her dark, damp hair was slicked back, highlighting her cheekbones. She held on to the top of the towel wrapped around her slender frame with one hand and reached for her bedroom door with the other. Judging by the far-off look in her eyes, she was deep in thought and didn't notice she had company in the hall. In any other situation, Sammy would have been turned on as hell, hot girl in a towel. But it was hard to feel lustful when you were watching an imminent car crash.
Hello,
Amy said in English. Olivia jumped and screamed, which caused his mom to scream in response.
Ah! Ah!
Olivia's grip on the towel loosened, and the pale green terry cloth slid onto the floor, revealing her in all her naked glory.
Ayah!
His mother exclaimed while Sammy gulped, torn between averting his gaze and soaking in the visual feast. The gentleman in him won out, barely. He raised his eyes to the ceiling, jaw tight, but the image of Olivia's smooth, bare skin and luscious curves had been ingrained in his mind. He'd seen her naked before, but damn, the years had been good to her. Those breasts, those hips. Fuckity fuck fuck. His tranquil Saturday had turned into an epic shit show.
Olivia!
His mother recognized the woman Sammy had once introduced as the one. He'd been young, stupid, and in love, and when he'd broken the news about his and Olivia's split, Amy had looked at him with sad eyes and fed him what she'd claimed was a love-cure soup. It hadn't worked.
This is a surprise?
Olivia snatched her towel off the floor and covered herself once more. Her face matched the reds in the sunset painting hanging next to the bathroom door.
Mrs. Yu, hi,
she squeaked.
Sammy didn't tell me you were here, in his house, naked.
Amy's laser beam stare drilled into Sammy, whose grimace deepened.
He chose not to point out that Olivia had been in the shower and therefore had to be naked. It wasn't like she was strolling around the living room in her birthday suit. That wouldn't go over well, and he'd like to live to see 30, thank you. Olivia didn't respond. For once, she appeared speechless.
Well, his mother said wryly, switching back to Mandarin. She knew Olivia was fluent in the language.
At least now I know why Sammy was so besotted with you back in the day. You have beautiful breasts.
And they blew right past awkward territory into the town of highly inappropriate. Olivia's face went from fire engine red to purple, and Sammy squeezed his eyes shut, wishing with all his might that the floor would open up and swallow him whole. It didn't. Bastard.
Chapter 7 Hua Sing was one of San Francisco's oldest and most popular Chinese restaurants. Spread out over two floors in bustling Chinatown and open 365 days a year, it was a Sunday dim sum staple for local Chinese residents and the place where they went to celebrate all special occasions, Thanksgiving, Christmas, birthdays, graduations, promotions. Sammy's family had frequented Hua Sing for years, and they had a standing weekly reservation for the two largest tables on the second floor, right in front of the wood carving of a flying dragon and a phoenix that took up half the wall. When he arrived at the restaurant a little past noon on Sunday, less than 24 hours after the cringeworthy incident between his mom and Olivia, Sammy found a majority of his relatives already seated and gossiping loudly over cups of pu'er tea. The weekly gatherings were less about familial bonding and more about swapping intel on members of San Francisco's Chinese community, showing off one's newest handbag, and bragging about a child's latest accomplishments.
Sammy,
his mother spotted him first and waved him over. Gone were the polo shirt and tennis visor. In their place was the silk blouse he'd bought her for Mother's Day and her best gold jewelry. She sat at a table with his father, brother, grandparents, and various aunts, uncles, and cousins. Thankfully, Edison wasn't one of them. Sammy's least favorite cousin held court at the other table. Edison smirked and raised his cup when he saw Sammy. Sammy ignored him and slid into the seat next to his mother.
Sammy, it's good to see you.
His grandmother reached across the table and patted his hand with a smile.
I'm so happy you're here.
His face softened. It's good to see you too, Popo, he said, slipping easily into Mandarin as he used the Chinese address for maternal grandmothers. His grandparents on his father's side, who lived in Houston, were wealthier but more standoffish than his mother's side of the family. He called them on holidays, and they sent him red packets of money for his birthday, Lunar New Year, and Christmas. But other than that, he had limited interactions with them. They'd never quite gotten over the fact that his father had turned his back on the bride they'd chosen for him and married Sammy's mother instead. His Gunggung, maternal grandfather, and Popo, though, he loved with all his heart. They'd babysat him and his siblings while his parents had been busy working and attending night school for English lessons. His grandfather had taught the Yu children how to write Han characters, while his grandmother